I think that we can all say that it's been good to be here today. We've met a lot of new people, a lot of new faces, new families. We're always excited to see that. We'd like to have more here, and I know that there were some that were surprised when people showed up. But we're thankful that they were here, and hopefully some seeds were planted of God's Word in their hearts, and hopefully they'll ponder those things, and maybe it'll germinate sometime in the future. I'm thankful to be here tonight. Had a lot of good food. We want to thank all the cooks that provided that food for us, and I think everybody had a good time this afternoon. Two students go into a classroom. One student is excited about the prospects of learning this new subject that they have to learn about. And though he hasn't started yet, he's making plans on how he can use that new information that he is going to receive in that class. He knows that it's going to be beneficial, and he can't wait to get started. The other student walks into the classroom, and he drags himself to the desk. He doesn't want to be there. He looks at the subject as something that's stupid. Who wants to listen to this kind of stuff? And he's only there because it's a required class. And he can't wait for the class to end. I'm sure that we've all been in classes like that. And I'm sure that we can probably relate to either one of those two students. There's been classes that we've been in that we've been excited about, learning the subject, trying to figure out how we can use it in the future. But then there's been classes that we didn't want to go to. We had to force ourselves to go. But what's the difference? What was the difference in those two students? The difference is attitude. One wants to be there to learn, and the other one doesn't want to be there. He's only there because he has to be. And so the only difference is attitude, but one will learn more than the other because he has the right type of attitude. When it comes to God's Word, we have to ask ourselves, do we have the right attitude? Are we just going along because that's what we have to do? Or is it because we really want to learn what God would have us to do? In the scripture that was read for us, the Jews heard Jesus teaching, but they weren't excited about the lessons. As it says there in verse 15, it says, "And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" They weren't concerned about what he was teaching. They were concerned about how did he learn what he knew? How did he find out about this stuff? Who taught him? They weren't concerned about what he was teaching. It wasn't what Jesus said or his accuracy that they were questioning. They couldn't get past the point of, how did this guy get so smart? They weren't willing to learn anything from someone who wasn't trained by them. That was their problem. Jesus pointed out that it isn't the teacher, but it's the material. It's what's being taught that's important. And in verse 16, Jesus answered and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but it is His that sent me." So when we look at a subject, we need to listen to the material. We need to listen to the subject. The speaker may not be elegant. The speaker may not sound educated. The speaker may not be well informed of all the things of the world. But if he's teaching the truth, isn't that what's most important? Isn't that what we should be concerned about? Is what we're hearing the truth? And if it's not, then that's where we should start to question. Not the qualifications to be standing there. And so then the telling point comes, if a person wants to obey God, Jesus says, then he'll recognize what Jesus was teaching as it being God's will. That he would know what was being taught. If the individual knew the scripture, then you would be able to tell whether or not it was from God or from someone else. And so as we examine doctrines from other denominations, as we examine things that are taught from the world, and we compare them to God's Word, we can tell whether or not it is truth, whether or not it is false doctrine, whether or not it was right, whether or not it's wrong. We can know from God's Word. And that's what we should be concerned about, is what we're hearing the truth. And the question is, do we want to know the teachings of Christ? because we have a positive attitude and that we love God and that we want to understand? Or is it just something that we have to do? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, for this is the first and great commandment. Why is loving God such an important point? Why is that the greatest commandment? Why is that the first? Why is that the best commandment? Well, think about that for a moment. Loving God naturally leads us to do His will. If we love God, like we say we love God, then wouldn't we want to dig in and find out what it is that God would have us to do, how He wants us to live, what He wants us to teach, how He wants us to worship, to learn what it takes to become a Christian? If we really love God, wouldn't we want to do that? And that's why it is the greatest commandment. Because when we love God, we're going to do His will. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, it says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." If we love God, we should want to understand and know what it is He would have us to do. Why? Why would we want to know what God would have us to do? Because if we love God and He loves us, then He's not going to tell us something that's going to hurt us or something that's going to harm us. And so we want to know because He's going to protect us from this world that we live in. And the Bible plainly teaches, as we've seen this morning, that if we love God, then we are going to keep His commandments. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." If we love the Lord, if we love God, we're going to do what He says to do. You might look at it as when we're growing up. When we were young, we did things that our parents told us to do, and quite often we did those things because there may be a reward. Now, you may have gotten an allowance. You may have got some praise. You may have gotten something from your parents, so you did it because there was a reward. But then there's that time when we reach that age where our parents ask us to do something, and we do it. Not because we want to, and so we stomp our feet as we're doing it. We're huffing and puffing. We're upset. We don't want to do it, but we're going to do it because we know that if we don't do it, then there's going to be consequences. But then as we get older in life, we realize what our parents have done for us, and we appreciate those things. We understand that they loved us. And as we see the world now from different eyes, we realize that a lot of the things that they were telling us was to protect us from the world. And we see their love was demonstrated in all that time, even when it was reward or consequences. And so now we know that they loved us. And we love them in return by doing all that we can to help them as they grow old and need our help. Sometimes as a Christian, we do things because we know there's going to be a reward. We do things because we know that we're going to have a home in heaven. There are some times that we're told to do things and we're like the teenager. I don't want to go to church this morning. I don't want to go visit the sick. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to study the Bible. I don't want to do what the Scripture says. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to cooperate. And then we get to the point where we really love God like we should. And then we have the attitude of, what is it that we can do for God? Why? Because our attitude's changed. Our attitude is now what it should be. And we want to do what God wants us to do. And so we keep His commandments, not because we have to, but we keep His commandments because we love Him. And He's demonstrated His love already for us. And we know he loves us. Jesus tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we love the Lord, if we love God, we're going to do what they say do. Question is, do we love him? What kind of attitude do we have? The problem with the Jews was their lack of love for God. In John chapter 5, verses 38, or beginning of verse 39, it says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye shall not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Well, what are they saying? What's Jesus saying? He's saying they didn't love God. And by their actions it showed. Do we love God? Do you love God? Does your action show that love? Or is there a conflict in your life? Well, you love God sometimes, but you love the world the rest of the time. People often think that the Pharisees were legalistic. But Jesus was pointing out they weren't obedient and they were not willing to learn because they lacked the love of God. They had some of the finer points of the law down pat. We find an example of that in Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 24. When it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, ye strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. In other words, they did a lot of the little things, and the little things are important. You know, we should never get to the point where we say, well, I can skip the little things as long as I do the big things. Well, that's not the point here. The point is we need to do them all. That's what Jesus said. They should do them all. But they left out some of the weightier things, some of the things that were real important. And sometimes we do that because we're not loving God like we should. In Psalms 119, beginning of verse 97, we find there a sincere love of God will drive a person to learn all that they can learn from God's Word. It says in those verses, oh, how I love thy law is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I kept thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from evil ways, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. That's what happens to us when we have the right attitude. We look at God's Word as something that will help us in this life to get through this life. It will protect us. It will watch over us. Keep us from evil. But when we have the wrong attitude, we don't even want to look in the pages of God's Word. There's a different perspective that we have when we look at God's Word as, is this something that I can do to please God, or is this something that I have to do? And I'm sure you've heard questions. Maybe you've asked questions. Do I have to give? Do I have to attend every service? Do I have to visit the sick? When somebody asked me that, the answer is no, you don't have to do anything. The attitude is we should want to do it. You know, when I look out on Sunday night and so many people are absent, I wonder what is out there that is so much more important than being able to come and worship with the saints, to be a part of that, to show our praise and worship to God. You see, I think that we lose our perspective sometimes, that when we come and assemble, it's not just for us, it's for God, that our worship is directed to Him. Now, there's a benefit for us. But our worship is directed to God. So where else would I want to be than where the saints meet and where the saints come together? So it's our attitudes that we have to look at sometimes, because without the love of God, there is never a real understanding. And why some learn without coming to an understanding is stated in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. For of this sort they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why is that? Because we're following after everything else except what is important. And that is a desire to serve God. And so without a love for the truth, there is no drive to remain accurate. In other words, to uphold the standard of God's Word. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 12, or 9 through 12, it says, "Even him whose coming is after the works of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sent them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." We all have to have a love for the truth. It needs to be passed from generation to generation to generation. We want to make sure that we are accurate in what we teach. And I think that we see some of the problems in the church today because we haven't taught the proper respect for God's Word, the proper respect for God's authority from generation to generation to generation. And so people start to look at God's Word and say, well, it's all right to change it a little bit here. It's all right to leave it out here. Well, I have found that over the course of time that when you're building something, you may build a house, and if you are off in one spot, guess what? That one spot, if your wall is off an inch or two in one spot, it's going to affect everything else that you have to do. You think about that for a moment. I had a house that was a shell when I bought it, finished it, but there's a wall that's off. We could drywall around it, but guess what? Every time you cut a piece of drywall, you had to cut it crooked. Cut the crooked drywall, you say, well, it's going to look good when it's finished, but guess what? When you put the tile down or you put the carpet down, guess what? You got to put crooked tile. You got to put down crooked carpet. So it goes on and on and on. Why? Because we didn't stop and fix it to begin with. We didn't realize the importance of straightening it out, doing all the extra work to straighten it out at that time. And so we paid the price and still pay the price because things aren't what they're supposed to be. Well, the same happens in the church. When we don't maintain the accuracy of God's Word, the truthfulness of it, there's going to be problems that we have to deal with not only today, but on down the road. And so it's very important that when we see something that is wrong, that we straighten it out. And sometimes people look at someone that tries to straighten things out and says, well, you know, you're just an old fuddy-dud. You're old-fashioned. The fact is, if it's wrong, it needs to be fixed. Close enough isn't good enough. If I almost make it to heaven, I didn't make it to heaven. How close do you want to get to heaven? I want to get all the way there. And I hope that you do too. But the only way to get there is doing things God's way. And along with this drive that we have to do what's right, we have to learn to put those things that we learn from God's Word into practice in our lives. It is the one who senses this need to exercise the things that God's taught us that is able to discern both good and evil. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You know, sometimes we can't determine what is good and right, what's right and wrong, because we haven't trained ourselves to look in God's Word. And so sometimes things look all right. You know, the Bible talks about that, a way that seemeth right, but leads to destruction. Sometimes things look okay, sound okay. This little bit won't hurt, when in fact, it does hurt. And so we want to do what's right. And we need to put those things into action that we study from God's Word. We can't just be hearers, we have to be doers. In James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." James is telling us that when we hear these things, we have to put them into action. And then he gives us a picture of the man that gets up and looks in a mirror. And he realizes that there's things that he needs to change. Maybe he needs to comb his hair, brush his teeth, whatever it may be. But he needs to do something. But then he gets busy and he goes off and he forgets all about his appearance. And when he forgets all about his appearance, he goes out and is looking just like he does. Well, that's the way we do sometimes. We look at God's Word. We know that there's changes that we need to make. We know that there's changes that we need to adapt in our own lives. But we get busy with other things. How many times have we gone out the door saying, "I'm going to change that. I'm going to be better at living the Christian life. I'm going to start visiting. I'm going to start doing this or that." Only to get out of the door and forget about all those things that we talked about. Jesus says we need to be hearers of the Word and doers of the Word. And James tells us the same thing. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." James realizes that in order for us to receive that word, it has to come through meekness. We have to be willing to humble ourselves, to hear God's word, and then to put it into action in our lives. We live in a world that's full of pride. And sometimes we allow pride to get in our lives where no one's going to tell me what to do. James says when we have that attitude, even the Lord's not going to tell us what to do. And with that attitude, we're not going to put into action what we learn. And when we fail to do it, then Jesus tells us what will happen in Luke chapter 6, verses 47 through 49. He says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to him whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like unto a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." We love God like we should. We're going to build upon that foundation that is founded upon that rock of Christ, that rock of His Word. And when we fail to put it in action in our lives, we're just like that foolish man who built his house upon the ground. He didn't go down and put in a good foundation. He lived there, but there came a time when he wished that he'd built on the right foundation. Don't let that happen in your life. Have the right attitude when it comes to God and His Word. Have the attitude that I want to serve God because I love Him. I want to do all that I can to please Him. Whatever it is that He may have me to do, it may cost me my life, but I'm willing to give it because that's what He asks. Tonight, may, or this afternoon, you may not be a Christian, but I ask you, what kind of attitude do you have? You have the attitude that I love God and I want to do whatever it is that He wants me to do. Well, He wants you to become a Christian. Jesus tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's that simple. Believe what the Lord says. Put it into action in your life by being baptized into Christ. Without that baptism, He says, he that believeth not is damned. So if we don't believe and we're not baptized, we're going to be lost. And it's that simple. Oh, you can build on all kinds of foundations, but there's only one that's going to save your soul. So I ask you this afternoon, what are you building upon? What kind of attitude do you have? Do you have that right attitude, or does your attitude need to be changed? If you're here this afternoon and you would like to become a Christian, you come and have a seat up here on the front row. If you haven't lived as you should as a Christian, you need our prayers. You can also come and have a seat up here on the front row. But God wants you to be a child of His, and He wants you to be saved. But the choice is yours. So if you need to respond to the invitation, please do so while we stand and sing.